I'd like you to open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Just want to teach the word of the Lord a little while tonight. I'll be honest with you, since I have not been teaching on Sunday morning, I have missed this. Actually, it was always my favorite service. And I have given it away, and I've enjoyed the teaching of our brethren here. But I'll confess to you, I miss doing it myself. Nevertheless, we just want to get into the Word of God tonight. And it's wonderful to study God's Word. Ephesians chapter number 3. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. I have been privileged to go to Ephesus several times. I think 3 times I have been there now. Ephesus is in the nation of Turkey today. It was called Asia Minor back in biblical times. And the most stunning ruins in the entire world, in my opinion, are found there in Ephesus. The Roman roads that Paul walked on 2,000 years ago still exist. I'm talking about blocks and blocks and blocks of them. Also, the theater where the people chanted for 2 hours, "Great is the goddess Diana," because they were upset because Paul was preaching Jesus. That theater seats about 25,000 people and still stands to this day. So it's quite an interesting place to visit. Ephesus was a city of probably 150,000 to 160,000 in the Apostle Paul's time, and that was an extremely large city for that time because the earth's population didn't even hit 1 billion until around 1850. You all do realize that? Until about 150 years ago, we did not have 1 billion population on this planet. Back in the days of Jesus, we may have had 100 million people on the entire earth. The population was much less than what we experience today. Consequently, Ephesus was a very large city. So the Apostle Paul was writing to the Ephesians. They had a great and thriving church there, one of the greatest churches of the New Testament era. This is what Paul had to say. "That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." Now let me pause here for a moment. If the Apostle Paul were writing to you and me, to the Richmond Church today, he would be writing the same things. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we put these people out there in another planet. But the fact is, they were human beings like you and me. They had husbands, wives, sons, daughters, jobs, houses. I started to say their commode stopped up, but I don't think that probably was true. I think they had outhouses back in those times pretty much. Nevertheless, that was worse. But they were human beings like you and I. So the Apostle Paul is writing to them, and he was praying that God would grant to them, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened. How many like to be strengthened? Okay, we've got a few folks that would like to be strengthened here tonight. God saw your hand. "And he would grant you to be strengthened with might," how? "By his Spirit in the inner man." You have an outer man, and you have an inner man. So, Paul was saying that you might be strengthened in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by what? If you have Christ in your heart, it's by faith. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. That means you don't love part-time, you love all the time. You got deep roots in love. You're rooted, you're grounded in love. You don't love spasmodically. You live a life of being rooted and grounded in love. "And may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ," listen to this, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. One more verse, Philippians chapter 4, verse number 7. Philippians 4, 7 says this, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Felt so strongly impressed as I sought the Lord this morning to talk to you for a while about beyond the intellect. Most of us are mentally challenged. At one level or another. The most brilliant, highest IQ person in this building today, you still have severe limitations intellectually. You only go so high. And then you say, don't know what makes that work. So I want to teach tonight about going beyond the intellect. And there's a lot in the Bible about it. A lot about it. If we never go beyond the intellect, we will never do much for God. But if you and I are going to do very much for God, we will exceed ourselves. Anybody with me? We will learn how. Remember what the scripture said? And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. How can you know something that passeth knowledge? I see a lot of blank stares right now. You're trying to figure that out. How do you know something that the Bible says passeth knowledge? But yet we are being exhorted here by the Apostle Paul to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, and then he said in Philippians, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts. So there are things beyond our understanding, but that does not mean that they're not valuable. Let me see if I can illustrate what I'm trying to say to you today. How many slept last night? At least a little. Now, can you tell me what sleep is? Some of you folks spend half your time sleeping. So you've been spending half your life sleeping and you still don't know what it is. The smartest scientists in the world do not yet know how to define sleep. Is sleep good? As long as you don't do it too much. The Bible says that he that loveth slumber shall come to poverty. Some people sleep too much. But there's nothing wrong with a good night's sleep. Jonathan loves to sleep.
He does.
He's with me up here on the front row. I assumed that was true. So, sleep is ordained of God. You cannot live without it. So what can you not live without? I don't know what it is. Hey, what happens when you're teetering on the brink? You ever laid in bed and you're almost gone, you're not quite gone? And then you wake up 8 hours later and you say, where am I? You have been out. I mean, there are some people in this building that I haven't known about. You could pick them up and put them in the semi calling to California and they never wake up. I could call some names here. I know when I'm gone now. My girls were always somewhat like that. One of them was getting married. I threatened to buy a wedding gift, a pulley, an electric pulley that you fasten to the roof over the bed that the husband could put around her leg, and every morning to get her out of bed, he just flips the switch and just yanks her right out of that. I thought about giving that kind of a gift because I felt like she would need that. Well, anyway, that's all ancient history now, so we don't have to talk about that. But, so sleep is beyond our understanding. But it's absolutely essential. And the reason this is so important is because the Bible speaks about another rest. There remaineth therefore a sleep for the people of God. There remaineth a rest for the people of God. And the strange thing about it is, we don't understand that one either. Because with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. Now some people teach soul sleep. There's a doctrine called soul sleep. You say, well, I've never heard that before. You don't need to hear about it. It's not worth hearing. However, there is a true soul sleep. With stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people to whom he said, now, this is the rest. But what is it? Would you please tell me why God chose talking in tongues? I mean, I have a few ideas. But the great, brilliant, multilingual Apostle Paul. You know what his greatest claim to fame was? I thank my God I talk in tongues more than the rest of you. He saw that as his secret to power. Now, I know I've talked about this quite a bit lately, but I haven't heard enough tongue talking yet, so I'm going to keep talking about it. Because we in Pentecost for years slid into false doctrine. Got your attention to that. We have this doctrine that if we could chow y'all for 30 seconds at least, you're ready for the rapture. And in thinking that, we have been totally oblivious to how central the infilling of the Holy Ghost is for us. Because to truly live in a spirit realm, we have to live beyond knowledge. Men through wisdom don't know God. And young men, if you got a hunger for God, the places you really want to go, you won't understand when you get there. See if I can. I need to explain this to you just a little bit more because I feel all of us groping just a little bit. Let me. I don't understand you. I've had things wrong with me before and got healed. I've got something wrong with me right now. I'm not healed yet. I don't understand why. And if God was standing right here on this platform, I'd look to him right now and say, God, I believed you for that. And you didn't do it. Yet. But I'm holding on to the yet. I don't know what to say about that. I've been here 8 times. I need number 9. If I don't give, I'm going to heaven anyway. I'll be here when I get up there again. I don't know what to say about that. I cannot explain all those things to you. I feel like I need another illustration. Now that we have a few folks in this building who probably have some understanding of electricity. Most of you don't. I took some schooling. I took physics in school and I learned all about wattage and ohms and and voltage, and I did all kinds of formulas. I've now worked very hard to forget all those things. But if I had to, I probably could wire a house, but I'd have to probably have a good manual and a good telephone to call people when I got stuck. But I have installed electrical heat before my apartment. That's probably the reason it doesn't work today. I know how to change a light switch. I changed one the other day without flipping the breaker off. And that's not a good idea. But I just didn't want to go do it, and it was only 110, and I surely couldn't get hurt too bad, so I didn't get it. Don't laugh, I didn't get shocked. Only once. But he's done the same thing. He's supposed to be an electrician. I know he was. However, you and I don't fully understand how this works because electricity is powering those lights right now. But the amazing thing is it's also powering this mic and this PA system and that keyboard and that organ and that guitar over there. It's a marvelous thing. It's one of the closest things to an illustration of the Holy Ghost that I know about. Because the Bible teaches the gift of the Spirit, that there is the gift of knowledge, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues, and it says these are differences of operation, but the same Spirit. So electricity fires microphones and lights and organs and drills and hair dryers and hedge trimmers, but it's the same power that makes the whole thing work. But there's a lot of things about electricity. Now, a microwave oven is another good thing. Totally baffling to me. I'll never forget the first time that I put something on a paper plate and stuck it in there and pushed that button. I just stood there and looked through that little window just waiting for it just to burst into flames. I couldn't believe it. I thought they'd all pull my leg. You remember? Now, some of you guys are way too young. But I mean, up till that time, you put a paper plate in the oven, you're getting ready to have a fire. But all of a sudden, there's a whole new set of laws that we discovered. I wonder if there's some things we haven't discovered in the Spirit yet, Brother McFarlane. And there may be some things that I don't understand microwave ovens, but I know how to push that button. I push one once a year or so. I don't think I operated a microwave oven last year. My wife says, you don't want to marry me. Because I'm not very domesticated. And I have no ambition to be. Because I do my job and she does hers. We got an arrangement. Now, I'm not as bad as I sound, but I'm pretty bad. Anyway, I'm way off the subject. What I'm telling you is that I don't understand how the food gets hot and the paper plate doesn't burn, catch on fire. There are some laws that are working that are beyond my understanding. Now, I suppose I could understand. If I got the right books and studied the right manuals and got down to the right concept, I suppose I could understand it. But I'm here to tell you that according to this Bible, there are some spiritual laws that pass understanding. They pass knowledge. They're beyond it. But that does not in any way invalidate their validity. I think that was a double negative or a double. It was something. But it does not negate their validity. There are spiritual powers. And that is in particular what I'm attempting to say. I'm teaching tonight about going beyond the intellect. you know, we may have a great revival. I believe there's one coming. I feel it in my bones. And when we have it, we may not be able to explain where it came from. But you've got that feeling. We are fixing to have an unexplainable revival. I don't care. As long as the hot dog's hot. I don't care if I understand microwave ovens. And if God just fills this church up from that wall to that wall, He's going to do it. He's already promised us that. I don't care if I understand what makes it happen. I'll just keep my hands off of it and just keep pushing buttons. Because there are things in the kingdom of God that supersede our knowledge. Okay. Let's go now in the scripture to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Brother McFarland is going to read this passage for us. Listen to this. This is 1 Corinthians 2. Let's start, Brother McFarland, with verse number 9. We're going to go down through verse number 16. Read for me.
But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard.
Okay, haven't seen it with her eye. Haven't heard it with our ear. Read.
Neither has entered into the heart of man.
Has even come into the thoughts of my heart. Read.
The things which God hath prepared for them that love him.
Whoa. Now, wait a minute. God has got some things prepared for me that my eyes never seen, my ears never heard, and I've never thought it in my heart. But he's still got prepared for me. Read.
But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit.
Well, that's a spooky word. Revealed. How do you reveal something? I'm a manual guy. I know how to read manuals. You can give me just about anything and hand me a manual and get out of my face for a while. Leave me alone for a few hours. By the time I'm done, I pretty well know how to make that gizmo work. I'm a manual guy. It's just the way I'm put together. And it's a good thing my wife married me, because you could beat her with a wet red rope and she still wouldn't read that manual, I promise you. She's not going to read a manual. But opposites attract. So, we have an arrangement, don't we, babe? All right. So, but this doesn't have any manual. This you got to get by revelation. How do you know that? God revealed it to me. Ooh, I'm scared of you. I thought I read that out of the Bible. What am I talking about tonight? I'm talking about beyond the intellect where our stinking pride doesn't like to go. Because we like to be able to add it and subtract it and multiply it and divide it and calculate it. But I'm going to tell you right now, you get to mess with God and you're not going to calculate Him. Because His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. As far as the east is from the west, so is His ways above our ways. And God's probably not going to allow you to end up thinking you're smart. Because the smartest day of your life is stupider than the foolish, most foolish day of God's life. Am I quoting scripture? The wisdom of men, the foolishness of God is greater than the wisdom of men. So the biggest joke God ever did was smarter than the smartest thing you ever said. I hate to break this to you, Brother Andy. But you'll never get to first base in the kingdom of God if you're depending on your poor little brain. Because God is so great, you cannot house Him in a cranium, in a human skull. There's some things about God that can't understand me. I mean, they're beyond, they're out there, they're beyond the intellect. Doesn't mean you don't have access to them, though. Now, this is the good part. Even though it's beyond brain power, it's not beyond reach. Okay. So I not seen, ear has not heard, it hasn't entered the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them to love him. But I like to take first, verse 10, read.
But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit.
By his Spirit.
For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God.
Anybody getting that? All right. I'm going to have a spirit session. God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Could you give an example of how that works? Well, yeah, I think you can. Lord prays all night one night. The next day they are leaving Judea, which is down around Jerusalem. They're heading north to Galilee. And there's two routes you can take. You can take the easy road up through the West Bank, up through the Jordan Valley. It's a pretty smooth sailing. Or you can go by way of Samaria. And Samaria, that route is showing. I know what I'm talking about. I go there every year. It's silly if you go by way of Samaria. That's up there. They call it Nablus these days. And the walking is much tougher. However, they get ready to take the journey. Let's see, I think I've got this scripture here. Yeah, John 4:3. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Why? Why? Because it was revealed to him by the Spirit. He had a compulsion in his spirit to go by way of Samaria. Why are you doing that? I'm just doing it. Now we're in deep water here trying to get home tonight. How do you know to go by way of Samaria? You just know. See, it's revealed by the Spirit. Now that's the reason the Spirit is so important in our lives. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, here's where we are this evening. It takes time to be Spirit-led. Have you ever had your telephone, if you've got a cell phone, have you ever needed to go somewhere and you needed to take your phone with you, but it wasn't charged? And you need to charge it for 4 hours, but you've only got 15 minutes. So you slap it on there and hope it works. And it helps a little. But just when you get that call that's going to give you a contract worth $300,000, the stupid thing goes in. Well, that's not stupid. The guy that forgot to put it on the charger, the guy is stupid. I'm not talking about you, Brother Gilbert. I'm just talking about this has happened to people before. What's that got to do with what I'm talking about? I am telling you that the technological age we live in will help you understand how the Holy Ghost works. Because man in his wisdom is dabbling around with some of the foolish things that God has done. And one thing he did was he built you so that you are not operated on independent power. There is no power except it be of God. Do you know mankind has dreamed of inventing perpetual motion and never been able to do it? And I don't think you'll do it either. Do you know that everything that moves, those lights, everything that moves, if you'll trace all those electrons back down to Richmond Power and Light, you're going to find out that the source of their power is from God. Power plants are either using coal or oil or gas or wind or water. There is no power except to be of God. It's in Him that we live and move and have our being. And if you want power, you'll get it from God. Now, what they're going to do with where we are tonight? Because I need more power. And the only way I'm going to get more power is to get on the charger. Now, if I think I shortcut that, I try. But when I need it most, phone's going to be dead. What'd you say, God? Would you repeat that? I'm in a bad cell. If you never use a cell phone, you have no clue what I'm talking about right now. But all these cell phone operators, they know exactly what I'm talking about. The man, a good feeling when you look at that phone, full four bars. The Bible says that Stephen was a man full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost. When Paul came up against that woman that said, "These are the servants of the Most High God, the ones who are the way of salvation." You know, the devil sends crap talked around to make the church look stupid. Hey, it's a good indicator we're on a pretty revival when they start showing up. I'll never forget. We got to praying and fasting one time years ago. So I'll do that again someday, by the way. And I'm telling you, we got on a bunch of revival, and one Sunday night, six or seven demon-possessed people walked into our service. I'll never forget. We all looked at each other and said, "Man, we're on the brink. We got to be on the brink." I mean, they came from everywhere. Now, what I'm saying is, if you want power, you got to plug in. I'm not talking about good night Jesus here now. I'm talking about plugging in. Wouldn't it be great if we would do a test in this church and our assignment would be everyone talking in tongues an hour a day for the next 2 weeks? You don't like talking tongues? You must be doing it wrong. It's good. It's fun. Say, "But I'm busy." You're too busy. Paul said, "I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than y'all." Ooh, don't we like the Apostle Paul? He was a man. He was something else. What a great apostle. Plug in. Plug in. Because there's more to talking tongues than the initial evidence. The Bible says Jesus speaks with unknown tongues, speaks mysteries unto God, and he is spirit praying, and he edifies himself. To edify means to build up or to empower. If we need more power, we need to talk in tongues. You say, "How does that help anything? How does faith help you?" I don't understand how it works, but I'm telling you, it's biblical, and it works, and we have never need talking in tongues like we need talking in tongues right now. Because the time has come that this world is too smart for us. And we have to go beyond intellect. This world's not looking for a smarter church. They got guys in their pulpits with degrees, more degrees than a thermometer. And their church is dead. And they walk in there bound by sin, and they walk out bound by sin because they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. What I'm telling you is, from the front row to the back row, we need faith of God. Full of the power of God. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be issued with power from on high.
You know, owning a Rolls Royce isn't much fun if you got a gas. What a great salvation we got. Aren't you glad you don't have to dodge Scripture? Man, I'm glad I can read. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. I can go right down straight through that scripture and rejoice all the way. I don't have to try to stand on my head and make it say something it doesn't say. I just say, leave it alone. Except the man is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's what we preach, and that's what I believe here. Oh, what a blessing that is. So God didn't leave us with a Pinto or Escort. You own a Ford Escort, forgive me. If it runs, thank God for it. Maybe a good car, I don't know. All I know is, it's not a Mercedes. But God didn't put us in a little old Ford Pinto. When he gave us this salvation, he gave us a great salvation. I mean, it's got all the bells and the whistles. But Brother Dan, when he gave you that vehicle and handed you the keys, he was hoping you'd have enough sense to look at that gas gauge and pull in the stupid filling station. How many Christians we have sitting on the sideline? Church is dead. I didn't feel nothing. Nothing started my engine. Other people are on the front. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, I'm on the battlefield. Oh, my Lord. Somebody's sitting out there saying, you're out of gas, sir. Get you somewhere and start saying the name of Jesus. And just keep saying the name of Jesus. Until all of your thoughts come into captivity under the obedience of Christ. And keep saying the name of Jesus. And throw in a hallelujah once in a while. And throw in a praise the Lord once in a while. Until you feel something starts to move a little bit. And you feel the God coming up. While you're at it, hook up your jumper cable. Charge your battery. Man, you get gas in the tank. And a little charge. And won't hurt kind of fart, by the way. I hate to get into mechanics here, but I'm an expert mechanic. And I know this. If you're getting fuel and you don't have any spark, you're going nowhere. I'm saying we need some Pentecostal spark plugs. We got some folks going out there, well, there ain't much moving here tonight. Wonder what the preacher gonna do. Well, maybe you're the spark plug for the night. Wouldn't it be irreverent if you jumped up and said, I just got this fun night? You know, I was down praying today, and the Holy Ghost came down, and I said, God, send me somebody to witness, and lo and behold, somebody came to rock my door. And he said, and right before what we were having church right in my living room, well, it was great. Now, that would mess up the order of the service. So don't do it, but. What am I preaching about? I'm preaching about beyond intellect. I'm talking about there's power levers. I got to wind up here. I don't know why it's only 20:09. Wouldn't be right to dismiss before 9 o'clock. Let's see. Boom, Father. We didn't even read that whole scripture, did we? Where are we? Read.
we're trying to finish verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God.
For the Spirit searcheth. You know, these guys that see search engines on the internet, they think they're smart. I don't mind telling you, it's pretty impressive. When you go to the internet, to Google search engine, and you can type in, I typed in Sub-Zero refrigerators last night. Before all that, that's all I typed in, I pushed go. And that stupid thing went out there, and before long I had a picture of my refrigerator right on my computer screen, right in front of me, so help me. All I did was type in Sub-Zero refrigerators. It went out there. It had a picture. But now you got this model. You've got your refrigerator here. You got your freezer below that and your another freezer below that. Right? It was describing, and I had my thing described to you. Now, that's pretty impressive. Because that search engine went out there and found what I needed to know. But the Bible says that the Holy Ghost searches. What do you do when you get in the service and things aren't popping? Things aren't cracking. Then just push go on your search engine. You may not like what it tells you. I was sitting one night. Well, one thing happened. I got a bunch of stories. Anyway. I was sitting in church one night, preaching for Brother Robert Henson, and that service was dry as corn shucks. And I'm sitting here, and I had my search engine in action. I had my feelers out. You might know what I'm talking about? If you don't have a set of feelers, you need to get you some. You don't need them. Bible says, feel after him. What's happened, you might find them. See, I wouldn't know when I found him. It's because you're not rubbing shoulders with him enough. If you don't know somebody when you meet him, you don't know him very well. Have you ever met somebody that you met before and you forgot who they were? And they walk up to you and say, oh, hello, you remember me? Well, your face looks familiar. Help me. You don't know him very well, do you? I'm not going to say what I thought about saying just now. But when you rub shoulders with somebody every day, if you're rubbing shoulders with God every day, and you send your church engine out there, and you find him, it's like, I just trying to teach you guys something about getting beyond your brain. I don't know. Are you smart? You're not smart. Are you dumb? Are you saying yes to the last question or the first one? Forget it. We'll have this discussion later. But when you operate in the realm I'm talking about, you may be ignorant and unlearned. But you can leapfrog over all of your disadvantages if you can learn how to operate in the Holy Ghost. Because this passage of knowledge, this goes beyond the intellect. Peter, the Bible says he was ignorant and unlearned. The Bible says that, Brother Dan. Now, God, I don't know what matters to the Lord. Who would choose an ignorant and unlearned person to be your chief apostle? That don't make no sense. Trying to illustrate the point. I don't know how to speak good English. That was for effect, Sister Barbara. Well, I'll tell you what, the preacher of this bunch is something else.
But what am I telling you? Why did God do that? Because the most important qualification to do God's work is to know how to get beyond your intellect. Here we come. Going up to pray. That's what people do who operate in the realm I'm talking about. They pray. Here's your brother. Comes across an old guy sitting there. Lame. He's sitting there with his skin cut begging. And Peter's brain did not help him to do this. But the Spirit. The guy, he's taking that tin cup, and Peter just blurted out, "Hey, nobody go have another!" But such a, come on, give me your hand, man. You want to walk it out? Get up here. Silver and gold have I none, such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, arise and walk. I've got something beyond brain. And the old boy went leaping and shouting. You know, that's better. He went leaping and shouting. That didn't happen because Peter had a PhD. That happened because he had tapped in to something beyond. And I am here to announce to you, and you all know I'm preaching the truth, that that's the only thing that's going to work in the world that we live in right now. You say, well, what if I start trying to do that and I make some mistakes? You'll make mistakes if you don't try to do it. You know, there's always people saying, well, I'm afraid I'll make a mistake. The biggest mistake you can make is not trying. I've seen people that live all their life in the lowland because they're never willing to get their foot off the first base. I have to teach you something tonight. You've got to take your foot off first before you get down to second. I know it's deep, but think about it a lot. All right, if you can't get that one, here's another one. A turtle never gets any place until he sticks his neck out. Just keep your play it safe. Keep your head in your shell. Guess what? No way. Turtle doesn't go into a church. I think it's time for the Church of Jesus Christ to stick its neck out. I said, let's have a move of the Holy Ghost. I think we're going to have to continue this another night because I think some of you have probably got your week's assignment anyway. All right, what's your assignment? Talk in tongues an hour a day. Let's just do it from now, son. You said, can you do that? Can you just put that on? No, I'm not asking you to put it on. I'm asking you to plug it in. You plug in, you'll get the charge. After the Holy Ghost, power. That's the first thing. After the Holy Ghost, power. Anybody need more power? I raise both hands. I need power. I need more power than I've ever needed before in my life. You know, really, when you plug in, you got two prongs, right? Here's the way you plug in spiritually. Two prongs. That's a revelation. God just revealed it to me. Beyond intellect.